The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Well, the 60th Bundesliga season kicks off this weekend. Tomorrow afternoon, we'll have Dortmund taking on Leverkusen, two of the league's top teams. Coverage begins at noon Eastern, 12:30 kickoff on ABC, ESPN Plus, and ESPN Deportes. Meanwhile, on planet Earth, you know, the Florida Heat, no joke, is why Bucks defensive lineman decided to shotgun a can of Gatorade at practice yesterday. Dominique Foxworth is here with me. Neek, you ever shotgun some Gatorade, man?
I haven't shotgun anything. Like, what's the rush? Take your time. Anytime I'm drinking anything, I just take a little sip.
Bro, it's hot. It's humid out there in Florida.
Yeah, I don't have that much mass to rehydrate, so maybe my man Vita got to do it that way. I don't get it. I just take a little sip.
Welcome back to Get Up. We're coming to you live from the Heineken River Deck, Pier 17. Brian Custer in from Mike Greenberg.
Like
all right, it is time to get up. Deshaun Watson versus Roger Goodell. What will the commissioner, what he will and won't do regarding the fate of Browns quarterback? And Aaron Rodgers, he did some traveling in the offseason. We'll examine the places he went and why his trip could mean a third straight MVP. Meanwhile, a honeymoon in Vegas may not last long for Derek Carr and Devontae Adams, why we should know where the Raiders stand very quickly this season. And let's get right to the game of the night. Jags, Raiders Hall of Fame game. New head coach Josh McDaniels, new Jags head coach Doug Peterson, Derek Carr, Devontae Adams didn't play, but old number one pick did, Neek. How about Javon Walker?
I mean, the man's a player. He's getting out there and making action. I think we are devaluing the term game of the night, though. But I'm saying the Hall of Fame game.
It was our only game, bro.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, exactly. Let's call it the game.
Okay, there we go. Second quarter, Raiders driving, and Nick Mullen finds Tyron Johnson up the middle. 25-yard game. Look, they got to find a compliment. They got to find Devontae Carr.
You can't. Nick Mullins, I love him, but, I mean, game of the night? Come on, guys.
Well, the next play, he hits Amir Abdullah. He hits the end zone.
Yeah.
Look at that kick. I like that. Turkey kick. Raiders up 13-0, and then Stenham can't find anybody, but uses his legs.
Look at the wheels.
There you go.
Dual threat quarterback right there.
Absolutely. The Raiders get the win 27-11. By the way, yesterday, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell, he designated former New Jersey Attorney General Peter C. Harvey to hear the league's appeal of Deshaun Watson's six-game suspension. Now, Ashley Solis, she's the first accuser of Watson. She spoke yesterday on the suspension.
What do the actions of the NFL say to little girls who have suffered at the hands of someone perceived to have power? That it's not a big deal? That they don't care. Tough shit. That's what I've taken from their actions.
All right, let's bring in all the guys here. Jeff, let me start with you. Let's talk about the next steps in the appeal process for the NFL.
Yeah, I think it's important to point out their actions are not yet complete because we are right now in the middle of an appeals process in which the NFL would like to see Deshaun Watson be suspended for at least a year, an indefinite suspension starting at a year with a sizable fine tacked onto that. Now, you ask yourself, well, how do we get to that point? Today, the NFLPA and Watson's camp have until end of day to submit their response to the NFL's appeal. And then it will be Peter Harvey, chosen by Roger Goodell, designated not as a neutral party or as an independent one, but as a designee to Goodell, who will ultimately rule and decide what the punishment will be. So, of course, given the fact that the NFL is appealing and that the NFL is ultimately hearing that appeal, it makes sense that we should expect, again, a sizable increase in discipline, perhaps, in fact, a year and a fine before all is said and done.
Dominique, let me come to you because initially, if you're a Browns player, you're thinking, okay, well, you know what? We may be without him for the first 6 weeks of the season, but we're going to have him, let's say, the last 10, 11 weeks. But now hearing this, how do you prepare if you're Brown's teammate?
Yeah, I think most of the guys are like fighting for their jobs. Like that tends to be the case in football. It's a little bit different from other sports. And I don't think that too many guys are spending a ton of time thinking about who's in and who's out. And I understand they'd be more excited to have a player with the potential to be as talented as Deshaun Watson is. But those guys, with the exception of like the big top guys, most of the guys on the team, I think, are trying to get theirs. And to the degree that Deshaun Watson's presence or absence impacts that, I think that's more their concern than anything else, unfortunately.
Mike T, what about Deshaun Watson? Do you expect that he's going to play this season, you think, for the Browns?
I do not, for a lot of the reasons that Jeff summarized, which is once the league deviated from a jointly agreed upon third-party arbitrator in Judge Robinson, I think this was an all-in move for them. I don't think they would have disrupted that process and appealed for to try to tack on a game or two. I think they're going to try to suspend him for the entire season. And if I was Cleveland, Brian, I would have to be preparing for that, because if it's not, they could always change course. But I got to think once they saw that the league was going to appeal to this new designee, that they have to be prepared for Watson to miss the season.
What you heard Dominique talk about, if he was a player on the Browns, he'd just be focused on his job. But if you're a player, what are the conversations like with Deshaun Watson in that locker room?
Honestly, it's really not much of any conversation, because Dom is right. You're just focusing on the things you can control. And that's, you're trying to, you know, for most of the guys on the roster, you're just trying to win a roster spot. So, you know, listen, it would be great to have a guy as talented as Deshaun Watson as your quarterback, but you know, that's as a player, that's out of my control. I have no, there's nothing I can do about that. The only thing I can do is just how I go about my business as a player.
Mm. All right, guys, our next stop is Green Bay, where this week on the Aubrey Marcus podcast, Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers says for the past two seasons, he's been vacationing in South America using psychedelics, which he says has helped his mental journey. Gentlemen, take a listen to this.
I really feel like that set me on my course to be able to go back in to my job and have a different perspective on things, and then to be way more free at work as a leader, as a teammate, as a friend, as a lover. And I really feel like that experience paved the way for me to have the best season of my career.
Okay, Nick, let me come to you, because cats has hit me up on social media like, hey, man, you haven't used psychedelics. They can really help you.
Yeah,
give me your response.
I'm not here to judge anybody. And yeah, if that helps him, that's fine. But let's focus on the most important thing that he talked about. As a lover, that's all I want to discuss. Did you not know what you're doing it wrong before? Like, I don't understand how psychedelics open your eyes. Like, is it like you want to be able to finish the game? You want to perform well in the fourth quarter?
Right.
Like, I understand how those things could be an issue for some people. Yeah. And I'm glad that Aaron Rodgers has found a way to answer that. And it's hard to argue with the results. And like, all jokes aside, it's always very difficult to like zero in on the reason for any one thing, because there's so many variables that impact it. But if this works, it's so much of these things are mental. If he believes that this is helping him, then damn it, it's helping him. And I hope that his girlfriend appreciates it. The Packers fans absolutely appreciate it. Back-to-back MVPs. But maybe they need to fit something in just before the playoffs.
Right.
He needs to go on a trip just before the playoffs, apparently, because that's been the issue the last couple years. Because I don't know what psychedelics he used, but they ran out by the time he got to January.
Right,
he got to re-up in January.
Hey, listen, I remember when Bart Scott was out here, and he was talking about taking the little blue pill, and he said that was helping him.
Yeah, I know. Some people use that to help get their blood flow. Yeah,
absolutely. Okay, Mike Tito, listen, as a general manager, put the GM cap back on. Would any of this that you heard from your star player, would it concern you at all?
Yeah, it's really hard to follow Neek's comments, but in all seriousness, what I would tell Aaron Rodgers is, look, you're an all-time great. You are a great, great player, and to each his own. And whatever you do to get ready, be you, and that's wonderful. However, you have 89 teammates, and those 89 guys probably can't do what you do to get ready, and what brings out the best in them is not necessarily what you do. So just be careful, because by your very stature, you're a leader, whether you like it or not sometimes, and you just got to be careful that let other players get ready that will bring out the best in them, and you can handle your business all by yourself.
Hey, D Wood, please, please give me your reaction to all of this.
Hey, man, listen, like Don was talking about, I mean, the whole, first of all, the whole lover thing, that's just a whole conversation in and of itself. But I'm all for, listen, you're a back-to-back MVP, and you felt like these psychedelics helped you mentally? Man, I will go down to South America for you to go get that as a teammate, okay? Absolutely. And like Don talked about, I'll take a trip down there in January to go get it so we make sure this year we're in the Super Bowl and not watching it in the NFC Championship game.
I mean, consult your doctors, all that stuff. I don't want to get nobody in trouble or anything. I don't know legal repercussions for any of this, but it works for him. And I appreciate, frankly, destigmatizing in general, like other ways to go about addressing whatever concerns you have. And we've seen Aaron Rodgers' history with, like, his family and struggles. Like, he's been through some stuff. And we saw him talking about the virus in the past. He clearly is open-minded to some things that I don't always agree with. But in this case, like, if it worked for him, we'll see if it could potentially work for other players. But hey, I don't know. It's hard if I'm a quarterback in this league. It's hard for me not to text Aaron like, yeah, so where's this place at? Because if the results are like that, then I'm going to go try it out too.
Tell me about this ayahuasca plant that you're using. Seriously, though, Jeff, do you think the league at all, any follow-up, do you think maybe the commissioner or somebody giving a phone call there to Aaron Rodgers?
Well, it's interesting that the league is taking a hands-off approach on this. You know, I'm sure there's other players out there who also like to partake in other plants using them. And I like to think that if they spoke about it in such an intellectual format like Aaron Rodgers, perhaps they could get away with it, too. I don't know.
Yeah, but, you're right.
You know, interesting, you know, Jeff, you know, I don't know. You know exactly. I appreciate you bringing it up, but I know exactly what you're saying. It goes well for a guy like Aaron Rodgers, a different player who's like, yeah, I need to reset my mind with a whole lot of weed in the offseason. The P-man is going to be at that door immediately, which is how it happens. I appreciate you throwing me that alley-oop because I was too busy making jokes to point out that part.
Considering that he has been the back-to-back MVP. Mike T, what about this season? What kind of season are we expecting out of Aaron Rodgers?
I think he has a chance to show greatness in another way. They moved on from the best receiver in the game in Davante Adams. They have a lot of young receivers, most notably Christian Watson, their second-round pick. And they do have two great running backs, and they have a really good defense. So he actually has a chance to go for three in a row. And if he does, he will go down on a very, very short list of the best of all time. So if this is the ultimate year to prove his worth in terms of playing great without Davante Adams.
And Nick, what do you think? What kind of season?
Yeah, I think he's going to be a high season. He's going to have a high number of wins, a high number of yards, a high number of touchdowns, and he might just be high throughout the entire process, which, again, I don't have any place to judge there. The man is doing what he can do, and I appreciate that he has figured out how to even manipulate us. You've noticed every couple of months Aaron Rodgers does a little something to keep us talking. I'm impressed with the way that he is manipulating defenses and manipulating the media, and I'm sure he's manipulating a lot to other things more efficiently now that he is much more efficient.
Okay, Vince, without leave that alone.
I stopped. Relax, everybody. Get out of my ear, Pete. I know what I'm doing.
It's still just 9 o'clock.
I know what I'm doing, Pete.
Well, look, Big Wood, pardon the pun. What kind of seats are you expecting from Aaron Rodgers?
I'm supposed to be the loose cannon. There's only one on the set. This is too much fun.
I know it really is.
Too much fun.
And it's only 9:12. That's the beauty of it. All right, coming up, Dak Prescott, to be very successful this season, does he need to emulate Tom Brady? In what specific way? We're going to dive deep into that. And with just over a month until the NFL regular season kicks off, Lamar Jackson, the Ravens, are they playing a dangerous game? We'll get into that as well.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Back to the NFL. You know, the Cowboys are coming off a disappointing season last year, but let's run through the biggest Cowboys concerns. Neek, let me start with you. Biggest concern.
I think it boils down to head coaching. Like, the clock management was a big issue last year throughout the regular season. And then, of course, the playoff final loss came down to clock management. I think that's an issue. And also the general discipline. This team is penalized more than anyone else in the league. And that's something that, again, it falls on a head coach, particularly when you have a head coach who took a few years off to get smarter about football, as he said. And also, he's not the offensive, defensive, or special teams coordinator. So what the hell are you doing? If you get a bunch of penalties and you're not coordinating any of the units, he needs to get better at his job. I think number one, Mike McCarthy, addressed these issues.
Jeff, in your opinion, biggest concern?
Look, Neek is 100% completely right about the biggest concern. I will state another concern, though, here, and that is replicating the number of turnovers they had last year. They were so superb. 26 interceptions, league-leading. Trayvon Diggs was unbelievable. Doing that again, it could be difficult. These things come in bunches, as we know. I'm not saying they won't get a bunch, but 26, replicating that is going to be very difficult to do.
You know, my biggest concern has got to be the offensive line of the Dallas Cowboys. It's been the strength of them, it seemed like, forever. But, boy, they've been a shell of themselves the past couple of years. It's the main reason why they went and got offensive linemen in the first round this year. You look at Tyron Smith, he's been basically a shell, it seems like, of himself because of the injuries. And Neek pointed it out, 153 penalties last year, over 1,100 yards. They got to be better on that offensive line. Woody, what do you think? Biggest concern.
I'm going to go with the wide receiver depth. And, I mean, you look at the you know, that unit as a whole right now. Obviously, they have CeeDee Lamb, but they lost Amari Cooper via trade. Cedric Wilson left via free agency to Miami Dolphins. James Washington gets hurt in training camp. He's going to be out for an extended period of time. So they don't really have a lot of bodies at the wide receiver position right now.
Meanwhile, you know, Dak Prescott had this to say to those who say the Cowboys have taken a step back at the receiver position.
You're never going to catch me looking at anything in my life as a step back. You've got an opportunity to move forward. You've got an opportunity to grow. And if you don't do that, then you're in trouble and you've already lost to begin with.
So that's Dak's point. Neek, I'll start with you. Could you see Dak Prescott this season emulating a young Tom Brady when they were winning championships and Super Bowls early on? You couldn't name the receiving core for the Patriots. Could you see Dak doing that with the Cowboys this year?
I could see Dak performing as well as Tom Brady had in that situation, but I can't see them having nearly as much success. Because what you have to understand was it was a lot about Tom Brady early in his career. It was more about the defense and what was happening around him. It does not, as we talked about, their chief concern is their head coach going to get better? He doesn't have Bill Belichick. He doesn't have the defensive veterans that they had down there. He doesn't have, as much as we like Kellen Moore, Kellen Moore hasn't shown the flexibility of offense that the Patriots did back in those days to be able to change from week to week. Dak is obviously capable of doing that, but he can't do it all on his own. I think he needs some more support from the staff around him and the players around him if they're going to replicate some season like that.
And Mike T, what do you think?
I think he's going to have a really good year, and I think this offense is going to evolve for a lot of the reasons already stated. And maybe it's Tony Pollard out of the backfield. Maybe it's Tony Pollard and Zeke on the field together. Who knows what it's going to look like? But Dak Prescott is the best quarterback in the division. I don't think it's close, and I do think the continuity and being healthy for Dak, we're going to see a more consistent player. I already think he's a top 10 quarterback, and I do think, Brian, you made a great point. They addressed the offensive line in the draft. They could certainly add another receiver. And look, Michael Gallup will be back. James Washington will be back. So this offense can evolve during the season.
Damian Woody, can Dak put this team on his back despite, you know, the issues they've had at receiver and help this team win?
Well, listen, I'm a big believer in Dak Prescott. I believe in his talent. My focus tends to go to the offensive line. It's been kind of in a steady decline over the past couple of years. Some of the stalwarts on the offensive line has gotten older. Obviously, they draft, you know, they draft the offensive line in the first round, but my biggest question mark, can they reestablish themselves up front? If they can do that, then I think that, you know, that gives Dak Prescott even more time to kind of survey the field, even with a depleted wide receiver roster right now.
What do you think, Jeff Darlington?
Look, Dak's got what it takes. It's not about that at this point. It rounds back to exactly what Dominique said at the very beginning of all of this, and that is coaching, clock management, not making mistakes in big moments. That's not all on Dak. It's on the organization as well. If they can get there, so too can Dak.
Yeah, I think the last thing you want to hear if you're a Cowboys fan like myself is going into a playoff game against the 49ers and your head coach says, you know, I got a sense that the team was a little nervous. Yeah. A little nervous before the game in the locker room. I don't want to hear that.
And I feel like that also falls on you as a coach to prepare the team. If the team goes in with the wrong frame of mind, I'm not sure who else you can point to other than the coach to be setting that frame of mind. And maybe he was trying to light a fire by sharing that, but it's concerning. It looks really bad after you lose.
Yeah,
you win,
absolutely.
You can be like, oh, I was just pressing the right button.
Right, exactly. So now we talk about the NFC East. Cowboys are favored to win the division, by the way. But I guess the question is, are you taking Philadelphia over Dallas in the division this season? What do you think, Mike T?
I'm not. I like Dallas. And for the reason I say it, I think Dak Prescott's a much better quarterback than Jalen Hurts. I like the moves that Philly made. I think they closed the gap. But Jalen Hurts is going to have to show his development and completing the ball down the field. So I'm all in on the Cowboys.
Damian, what about you?
Yeah, I'm going with Philadelphia Eagles. I like the moves that Philly made. You know, bringing in the A.J. Brown. With so much we talk about with like Josh Allen up in Buffalo, how when they brought in Stephon Diggs, what that did for Josh Allen. I think, you know, a similar type of effect can have, you know, A.J. Brown can have with Jalen Hurts. You know, just having that dependable, reliable target on the outside. So I'm buying Philadelphia to win the NFC East.
Nick, what about you?
Yeah, I'm not a full believer in the quarterback centricity that everyone else buys into, so I have to go with the Eagles. Like, Dak is clearly the best quarterback, but all the other important positions in football, they have, like, not good players, great players. They have two great tackles, two great corners, two great receivers. Offensive line as a whole is good. They have two great defensive tackles, a bunch of great pass rushers. And the quarterback is at least average to slightly above average. It's hard for me to imagine a situation where just having a better quarterback is enough to knock. And they have good coaching there. Like, they've seemed to have an organizational philosophy that has withstood a couple coaching arrangements, and through the general manager, what he said there is a culture that I think is sustainable. And I feel like I have to bet on all of that talent and that culture over just the quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Jeff, where do you feel? Cowboys, Eagles, which one?
He actually makes a really good case. I'm still going to go Cowboys because I already said that. But I also would that NFC East graphic, plus 800 for the Giants. Can we talk about that for just like a half a second? Plus 800? I mean, that's pretty wild. This division is so overrated, the Giants actually could find themselves nearing the top of it at the end because this division constantly disappoints and always comes down to the wire.
By the way, Derek Carr, Davante Adams, listen, the honeymoon in Vegas, it could be over before it starts. Why the Raiders' early season, one of the toughest tests in the NFL. We're going to discuss that when we come back.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Hey, welcome back. Let's play a game of one reason why. We start the AFC West. Big Wood, give me one reason why the Chiefs will win the AFC West.
You know, as much as we talk about the offense and the loss of Tyreek Hill, I'm going to go on the other side, the defense, all the bodies that they've added, particularly in the draft. I think they've added a lot of youth, a lot of athleticism, and I think that's going to be the reason why the Chiefs could win the AFC West this year.
Jeff, give me one reason why the Broncos will win the AFC West.
I wouldn't overthink this one. It's all about Russell Wilson. Look, this was a team that Aaron Rodgers was eyeing last year when he was considering making a move because of the talent on this roster. He viewed them the way that Tom Brady viewed the Bucs when he went there, the way Matt Stafford viewed the Rams. This could be the type of roster that was just a quarterback away from a championship run, and Russell Wilson could very well be that quarterback.
Mike T, give me one reason why the Chargers will win the AFC West.
Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert is arguably, if not the best, one of the two or three best quarterbacks in all the NFL. He's a young, rising superstar that I think will be an elite quarterback for a long time. They made a lot of changes on both sides of the ball, and he's going to lead them to winning the AFC West and probably the Super Bowl.
All right, Nick, give me one reason why the Raiders then will win the AFC West.
Man, y'all gave me the hard one. The reason why the Raiders will win is because Wilson, Mahomes, and Herbert all get sick. Like, I see some sort of illness happens, and it happens to strike those three quarterbacks. The Raiders, I like what they're doing. They're going to have to outscore these people because their defense is not up to par. And as good as Derek Carr is showing us he can be, he's not as good as either of those guys. Well, I want any of those guys.
Nick, I want you guys and all of you guys, take a look at the Raiders' schedule. I want you to zero in, though, on the first 5 weeks because they've got 3 division opponents in that first 5 weeks before they hit the bye there in week 6. Brutal start to the season. I guess the question is, what do the Raiders need to do through 5 games to still be in the mix in that division? Nick, in your opinion, what does the Raiders' record need to be once they hit that bye?
I think 2-3. They got to get 2 wins out of there, preferably against their division opponents. But this is the group of death. Like, this is a division that has 3 or has 4 teams that could be playoff caliber, but they all happen to be in the same division. Yep. There's a chance with the extended wild card that they could get 3 teams in, and I think they probably will deserve it. But the Raiders are going to have to at least get 2 wins out of there and then go on a run when their schedule gets a little lighter after the bye.
Mm. Mike T, what do you think?
I think they're going to go 3-2. Look, they have 3 division games. I think they got to win at least 1 of those 3, maybe 2 of them. And then I think there's 2 other wins there, and I think they could beat Tennessee as well. So this is a team that's gotten a lot better, as we've all talked about. I'm very intrigued by Josh McDaniels working with Derek Carr and Davante Adams, who I think will be productive. I don't think he'll have the numbers he had in Green Bay because he'll be double-teamed a lot, and maybe it's Hunter Renfro that has a big year because of it. But this is a much improved team in a historically difficult division.
Damian Woody, what does their record need to be once they hit that bye?
Yeah, I think they go 3-2. I think, you know, I'm going to echo a lot of points that Mike T was talking about. I think it's a much improved team. I'm a big believer in Josh McDaniels. I think Josh McDaniels is going to bring over that coaching and the coaching. He's going to elevate Derek Carr, especially with the talent that Derek Carr has around him. I'm really excited to see this Raiders offense.
You would think, but considering coming from New England, they'll play better situational football as well. That's what he's going to really drill into that team. Jeff, what do you think? What is their record going to be?
2-3 or 3-2. I know that sounds like I'm not picking one, because I'm not. My point here is that
you look at that first five games, and when I first eyed it, I was like, man, what a gauntlet. And then you realize, oh, wow, three of those teams are actually in their division. How wild is that? How ridiculous is this division that the gauntlet is such that it's your divisional games? I mean, Chiefs, Broncos, Chargers, Raiders, this is going to be cannibalization within the division, and I just wonder who's going to survive at the end.
You know, when you look at Nick, you look at this Raiders squad, when you look at what the additions they made, what gives you the best hope where you say, you know what, this is what they did that I think that is going to help them.
I think we've all accepted that offense is something that you can rely on and is predictable. Defense is a little bit more variable. So, like, what they can rely on and point to is they're going to have a good offense. Like, Josh McDaniel wasn't a perfect head coach when he got his previous opportunity, but you like to think that he's learned a lot in his second go-around. Sometimes it takes a little time to mature as a coach. So, adding him to that situation and having really no weak spots in the skill position on the offensive side of the ball means that if Derek Carr is able to properly diagnose the defense pre-snap, there are advantages on the field. You're going to have to cover somebody one-on-one, or you're going to have to put a zone somewhere near someone who knows how to work a zone. Like Adams, as we saw in Green Bay, he can find the holes in the zone. No safety or linebacker can, outside of maybe Derwin James, can stick with Waller, and he's going to be open. And Hunter Renfrow, he don't look like it, but he is a monster in the slot. You can't stay on him. So as long as Derek Carr, and not to mention the running back situation, but as long as Derek Carr is happy or is capable of finding the open man or the mismatch, they should be effective on offense.
Josh,
week in and week out.
Josh McDaniel is probably the main reason why a number of people think Derek Carr is going to have a really good season this year. All right, Mike Tannenbaum, I want to stay with you, and let's play a game of Mike Check. Mike's going to give us three bold predictions heading into the season, starting with second-time coaches, Mike.
That's right, Brian. We got three second-time coaches, Todd Bowles, Josh McDaniels, and Dennis Allen. I think Todd Bowles is going to be the coach of the year. All three of these guys are positioned to have great seasons, and I think it's great to see them all be able to resurrect their careers. And when you think about where these teams could all be in the playoffs, we just talked about the Raiders. I love the Bucs, and I really like the Raiders, especially, the Saints on defense. Next up is when we talk about players taking this big second-year jump, it's going to be Doug Peterson, another second-time coach, with Trevor Lawrence. And when you think about what they're doing on offense, they signed Christian Kirk, maybe for too much money. They're getting back Travis Etienne. But we forgot about the greatness of Trevor Lawrence. And when we think about Doug Peterson over Urban Meyer, that's a massive increase in coaching firepower. And I think what we're going to see is a much better Trevor Lawrence in year two. And then lastly, Lamar Jackson is going to be the highest paid player in the history of the NFL by opening day. This one's easy, guys. He should be. He's earned it. He's deserved it. On the field, off the field, MVP, first-round pick, led his team to the playoffs. He's checked every box. I think Deshaun Watson's contract is the floor, and hopefully they could find some ground to work out a deal between now and opening day, and he'll be the highest-paid player in the history of the NFL.
Well, he is in camp, so begs the question here, Jeff, what's the latest on Lamar and his contract talks with the Ravens?
Well, Lamar has made clear to the Ravens that at some point there will be a cutoff, that there will be a point where he says, I'm playing this season without a new contract. I'm not going to negotiate in the middle of the season. The team and him remain optimistic that they will get a deal done. There have been offers gone back and forth. They're not at the point in the guaranteed money to get there. But ultimately, both sides holding out hope this does get done before the season. But I want to just continue to reiterate, Lamar Jackson is a different dude, and he is not afraid to go into this season and play this season without a new contract. I know that sounds wild, but Lamar is willing to do it.
So, you know, he's playing here and negotiating without, let's say, a traditional agent, because he's using his mother. You've had some experience with this, Mike T. I remember when Darrell Revis was going through a contract, he was using his uncle, Sean Gilbert. How does that affect the relationship and the negotiations on something like this?
Brian, it's a great point. From a club standpoint, you hated when players didn't have an agent. Agents play a necessary role. Things are said in negotiations that are better left unheard by the principals. And I think that has to be one of the reasons, Brian, we don't have a deal right now. That and the structure of Deshaun Watson's contract. Because beyond that, the market is fully formed. This should be an easy deal to get done. So the fact that he doesn't have an agent has to be a complicating factor. I never like when that happened. It's rare. We're seeing a little bit more nowadays, but it's just something that I know teams are reticent to deal with.
I think the teams are reticent to deal with it in part because it makes your job a lot harder. Because if you think about the relationship of the agent with the players and the agent with the teams, like an agent will have a 20, 30-year working relationship with GMs or teams. They have a 4, 5, 6, 7-year relationship with the player. So oftentimes I think that's why players more often now are going outside of the traditional structure, because you recognize that incentive lies for the agent to keep their relationship healthy with the team. It does not necessarily lie with them putting their reputation on the line to fight for one player. But you know who is? Your mother or your uncle. And Sean Gilbert was an ex-player and involved in a lot of union-related issues for Darrelle Revis. So I think that confidence gives you something. If you look at the dynamics of the situation, I could understand. While I had an agent my entire career and I have an agent now, I can understand why a principal in this situation would feel more comfortable with someone that they truly trust, not someone that they have to trust out of the circumstance.
And then you have the outside chatter, because it seems like every week, whether it's a former Raven, whether it's an anonymous GM coming out saying, hey, Lamar's not this, Lamar's not that. Do you think any of that affects the contract talks, D. Wood?
No, not at all. I mean, listen, the Baltimore Ravens know where Lamar Jackson is. Lamar Jackson knows the accomplishments that he's had. And I think, you know, Mike T talked about it. You know, really, it should be kind of easy considering all the accomplishments that Lamar Jackson has had and some of the contracts that's already been worked out with some of these other quarterbacks in the league. It's just all about getting it done. The outside chat is not going to affect, you know, what the contract situation is going to be.
Yeah, listen, the man's a former MVP. Yeah. You've designed your entire offense around it.
I think that we talk a lot about how Lamar Jackson shouldn't go into the season without a contract. The Ravens should not allow Lamar Jackson to go into the season without the contract. Because as you notice, quarterbacks don't get cheaper. By the time, and if Lamar Jackson performs the way we expect him to perform the way that he's been performing for much of his career and the way the Ravens want him to perform, his price is only going to go up. Like, they, assuming that he's healthy by the end of this year, which I know he had some injury issues last year, but all players do, assuming that he's healthy by the end of this year, and also assuming that his ability or his effectiveness is connected to his athleticism, the later you wait to sign that contract, the more likely you are going to be tied to Lamar Jackson later in his career when that athleticism is not quite the same. So while we feel the pressure is definitely on Lamar Jackson, I feel like there's a ton of pressure on the Ravens to get this done as soon as possible.
Yeah, it's kind of like with the Cowboys situation with Zeke Elliott.
Exactly. Yeah,
talking about the athleticism and how it was falling off. All right, coming up, you know, he led the Rams to a Super Bowl win, but a repeat may have gotten more difficult from Matt Stafford. We're going to explain why next.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is not a show where we merely point out the issues. This is a show where we solve the problems.
Take your big cowboy bus, get them on, have a ham and turkey sandwich.
So you're mixing a couple of luncheon meats there that I'm not sure should go together. Yeah. Canty, on the scale of relax, panic, which side are you on?
I'm a three in terms of the...
That's not what I asked you. This is not a three. What part of
of this.
Wrong game, Chris. You said relax or
very relaxed. We're not talking about your emotions, Chris.
You said a scale of 1 to 10. I'm relaxed.
No, I did not. I did not say a scale of 1 to 10.
I'm relaxed.
I physically went like this.
A different conversation. Yeah, you never saw a guy standing on a box before? Go on to the quote. Biggest sleeper that no one's talking about.
All right, I'm thinking the Giants.
Dominic is drinking the blue Kool-Aid.
Daniel Jones is not terrible.
I'm not messing with you.
Come on over here then. I got nothing to lose.
I'm not messing with you.
If I get a lucky shot, then I'm a champ. If you lose, I got nothing to lose. I'm down for this fight.
Let the record show that Dominic Foxworth just defended his pick of the Giants by saying their quarterback is not terrible. Those were the words that just came out of your mouth.
Good.
I would you say he good and terrible. All right, Nick, let's make some season predictions here. What do you think? Who's going to have the most passing yards this season?
I'm going with Derek Carr.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I think in part because their defense has some question marks on it and they're playing against some offenses that can put numbers up. Derek Carr is going to be throwing the ball often and he's got weapons everywhere. So I think there's a chance and he's developed an ability to push the ball downfield that he didn't always have in his career, so I think he's got a chance to put up some crazy big passing numbers this year.
When we talk about running the rock, who will have the most rushing yards, you think, this season?
I'm leaning Dalvin Cook. He's a very, very talented back, quite possibly the most talented in the league. He hasn't had a number of consecutive, like, healthy seasons in a row, but I think that that offense out there is going to focus a lot on him. Obviously, they have Justin Jefferson to ensure that he's not going to get too many loaded boxes, and I think he could put up some big numbers this year.
Okay, so who's going to have the most receiving yards this season? Who's going to be the Cooper Kupp?
I mean, I can't say it's going to be Cooper Kupp because I'm going with Ja'Marr Chase. I think a young guy like that is still out to make a point. And the way he was playing last year, it's quite obvious that his college quarterback and his pro quarterback, he has an eye to find him. And this guy makes plays. While he doesn't do any one thing exceptionally well, somehow all of it together makes him damn near perfect.
All right, let's go out to L.A. Sean McVay said Matthew Stafford's right elbow pain is, quote, a little bit abnormal for a quarterback, end quote, comparing it instead to what pitchers deal with. You know, Stafford dealt with an elbow injury last season. He received an injection in his throwing elbow during the offseason. Mike T, how concerning is this, you think, for the Rams?
Oh, this is a really potentially big story when you're talking about a shoulder or an elbow for your basically your starting quarterback, and we're talking about August. You got to think about the rigors of a 17-game regular season. And obviously, if you're the Rams, you're thinking about playing into February. So the fact that he's on a pitch count now and he's getting treatment, and the fact that when you heard Sean McVay's words, that is a real concern because now you're thinking, like, does he not practice during the regular season? How do they get reps? They're going to have to acclimate some new players. So it's not just about game day, guys. It's about trying to get this offense back to the level it was a year ago while you're trying to – they have new offensive linemen, new skill players. So this could be a really big story as the summer evolves.
Jeff, he's not throwing in team drills, only on 7-on-7. What are your thoughts?
Man, Tannenbaum sounds like a reporter these days. Like, I used to ask him these questions when he was working for the Dolphins, and he'd say things like, oh, no worries, we're going to be just fine. Now he's like a real concern. You know what I mean? Like, the dark side's pretty dark, isn't it?
You know why? You know why? Because I went on a trip, I cleared my head, and I came back and I was more fulfilled in my job.
That's right.
That ayahuasca, I'm telling you, man.
And I hope you're a great lover, better than you. Well, here's the deal.
Good comment.
Yeah, here's the deal. Here's the deal with Matt Stafford. The concern here, of course, I get PTSD because I think back to last year when we were talking about Dak Prescott and his quote-unquote baseball injury. That's what this has been termed. It's the type of thing that a baseball player sometimes deals with. Now, it's a totally different deal. We'll just find out here. I think that it's okay to be patient. Sean McVay has basically said exactly what Mike T was alluding to, that they're trying to make sure he's ready for a 17-game season. They want to make sure that if they're going to reserve him at all, it's right now as opposed to during the season. I hear you. There is plenty of reason for concern. At the same time, we got a lot of time before the start of the season for this thing to figure itself out.
Woody, what do you think?
I mean, anytime you hear the word abnormal and elbow, you know, that's concerning for a quarterback. You know, I just put my trust in Matthew Stafford, who's a veteran. You know, Dom, you know this man as a former player. Guys just know how to manage themselves and get through practice and all those type of things. So – You would hope that he would just rely on that, being in the league this long, to kind of manage the situation so he's ready to go on game day. But, man, it has me a little uneasy hearing those type of words as it relates to Matthew Stafford.
Right. I'd be surprised if he didn't have any physical issues. The reason why I'm, like, encouraged by this is it's clear that he knows what he needs to do for his body, and it's also clear that he's at an organization that is comfortable with working with him. The thing that pops up in my mind is, like, when we were playing, and it may be a result of not being as talented as Matt Stafford, but when certain players felt like they had an issue with their body, they didn't necessarily get the, like, leniency that a guy like Matt Stafford is getting. And it seems like the young, smart, talented coach and organization understand that at this age, he's going to have trouble, and we need to manage it now. The problem would really be concerning if all of a sudden he started taking weeks off midseason out of nowhere. The fact that they are preparing for this makes me feel confident about what they can do going forward.
Yeah, Sean.
And it always makes me think about Tom Brady. How the hell is he doing this? I don't know.
Sean McVay, by the way, said he still hasn't decided yet if he'll see any preseason action as well. Here's our next MLS match on ABC, ESPN, Deportes, and, of course, the app. Atlanta United, they host the Seattle Sounders. It's tomorrow afternoon, 3 Eastern. Both clubs outside the top 7 in their conferences. So this is really an important game. All right, coming up, First Take. Now that Roger Goodell has made his choice to hear the Deshaun Watson appeal, what can we expect next for the Browns QB? Dominic, he's heading over to the other studio. First Take immediately following Get Up.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Hey, check this out. News out of Tampa this morning from our Bucs reporter, Jenna Lane. Buccaneers wide receiver Chris Godwin has returned to the practice field for the first time this offseason. You know, Godwin is recovering from that knee surgery that really sidelined him after week 15 last season. Okay, so Jeff, what's the latest you're hearing then about Godwin's return?
Yeah, I was just speaking with a Bucs source who pointed out that while this definitely feels ahead of schedule, I mean, he had surgery January 3rd to repair the ACL and MCL. This is not necessarily ahead of schedule on Chris's terms. As this source said, he is a freak when it comes to his work ethic. So right now, Chris Godwin expected to be on the field at this point. I don't think the rest of us did. But he is out there, at least in some capacity, with his pads on, as you're seeing here. That is a huge progression for the Tampa Bay Bucs, a team that absolutely needs Chris Godwin at some point if they're going to compete for a championship.
So, Mike T, obviously they got Julio Jones in there, but do they need Godwin if they're going to make another Super Bowl run? Healthy, I'm talking.
Absolutely.
100% healthy.
Yeah, Brian, absolutely. He is a very underrated player, and at some point, he's going to have to play meaningful snaps for them. They've done a remarkable job when you think about Kyle Rudolph, Julio Jones, but look at the production when he's on the field. He is a very underrated player, so they'll get Chris Godwin back at some point. I've been on the record. I think they're going to get Rob Gronkowski back at some point because his girlfriend and agent have said so. So I think this is a Buccaneer offense that may start a little bit slower because of Godwin's injury and Gronk's absence. But as the year goes on, I think it's going to get better and better. A lot the way we discussed Dallas and their injury situation, I see Tampa Bay's offense very similarly.
How crucial is he, D. Wood, to this Bucs offense?
Very much so. He's a great blocker, really productive from the slot. He's just another big wide receiver that has a big catch radius. So
I mean, we saw the graphic up there when, you know, when he's in as opposed to when he's out, it makes a huge difference. And you plug him in with that wide receiver core, this Bucks offense has a chance to be elite as the season moves forward.
And Mike T, elite, when you talk about elite receivers, God, when you said underrated, where would you put him?
Oh, he's a top 20 receiver, and Tom Brady just makes it better. D Wood nailed it. He's tough. He can block, but his route running, mm-hmm. he can create separation against man-to-man, and that's why him and Mike Evans are such a great duo.
All right, let me tell you something. This has been fun. This is how you end a Friday. You know what I mean? We had a lot of fun here talking about ayahuasca, regenerating our mentals, all kinds of good stuff. But Mike T, Big Wood, Jeff Darlington, and Neek. I'm Brian Custer. First Take, it's next.